It's about time to begin our morning worship service. If you would, come on in, grab a songbook, or you can look at the screen. I'm still old school. I have to have the songbook. It's good to see everybody here. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you would take the time to take the card, the gray card, in the pew in front of you and fill it out so we can have a record of your attendance and get a loaf of homemade bread on the way out. It's good to see Miss Hazel here this morning. Good to see Russell Strostad here this morning. Hadn't seen him in a while. He's looking good. Looks like the grandkids are doing good for him. Yeah, I see him there too. He's looking good too. Well, for your age, good, Bill. There you go. Good to see Bill here this morning. If you would, turn your songbooks to number 611. We'll sing all three verses. Then we'll have our opening prayer.
Walking in sunlight on my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said,
thank you, God, for such a beautiful day today with the sun out today. God, we thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the children of this church. God, I pray that we'll be able to raise them to be strong Christian men and women one day. God, thank you so much for all the members of this church as well. I pray that you're with those that are not here this morning. Please bring healing and comfort to those who need healing and comfort. God, I pray that you speak through Charlie this morning. Help us to focus our hearts and minds and drown out all the distractions that we have that we can listen and apply what we learned this morning. God, I pray that we'll live every day in memory of the sacrifice of Jesus. God, thank you so much for Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Next hymn be number 860. We'll sing the first and fourth. First and fourth. There
is a
next hymn be 387. Next hymn, 613. This one's a little faster paced.
I tend to lead this one pretty fast,
so that's how I was taught how to lead it. That's the way I've always heard it sung. So hopefully y'all can keep up, or maybe I'll keep up.
Never come to stand. Build your hopes on faith.
prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, number 349. 349. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth.
Morning. Does everybody have your emblems this morning? Does anybody need them? You need some? Stan's got the basket. You okay, Steve? Who needs some other one? Everybody ready? Okay. Jesus commanded us to do this every Sunday when we gather. Is to take his body and his blood to remind us of his death on the cross that saved all of us. We're to do this with a clean mind, clean heart, clean body. If we have anything against anyone, we're to make that right before we take communion. If there's anything, if you have something against a brother, you're to go and apologize, make it right between a brother. If there's anything that is on your heart that is not right and you take the communion, the Lord says that you heap burning coals on your head. You want to be sure that you're right when you take this. He died on that cross for our sins. He had no sins. He was sinless, the only man ever. He did this for our sins. What would you do for somebody today if they took all of your sins upon themselves and died for you? That's what Jesus did. He did this for us, not for him. Will you bow with me, please? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for your Son Jesus, who you sent to this earth to take our sins and make us whole, Father. You knew that we would sin and that we needed a cleansing Savior to take our sins. And that's what you sent him down here to do, to live, to show us how we should live, and to know what we should do. But Father, we're not sinless. All of us are sinners. And we thank you so much for sending Jesus down here to take our sins. Now as we take this bread, which represents his body, we ask that we do it in a manner that's pleasing to you. We ask all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we continue this morning thanking you for your Son, Jesus. Father, we know that his blood covers all of us, and his blood makes us whole, Father. We ask now as we take this cup, which represents his blood, that we do so in a manner that's pleasing to you. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' holy name. Amen. Separate and apart from communion this morning, the elders have designated this time as a good time to take up our contribution to the church so that we can use that to further the work of this church and in this community. We've put two boxes out in the foyer. They say contributions on them. There's one on each side. If you have a contribution, just drop it in it this morning as you leave if you haven't already. If you have a gray card as a visitor, you can drop that in there also, and it'll be taken care of. Will you bow with me now? Father God, as we try to further the work of this church, as we do what you want to do, that the elders have decided to do, you've given us good men to lead us, Father, and we trust them to do with our contribution what you direct them to do and what they know is right. But Father, now as we do that, we ask that you bless what we put in there in the contribution and that you lead our elders in what we're to do and how we're to do it, Father. We thank you so much for all that you give us. And as we give back a portion, we ask that you bless it, Father. We ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Number 870. We'll sing the first and last verse. If you're using the song book, if you would, mark it to number 904. 904 will be the invitation song.
Be on this land of boarding, losing and leaving, far beyond the loss of the star, cutting this, and far beyond the taking, and of bereaving, lies the summer land of bliss, land beyond not so fair and bright, land beyond.
Scripture reading before the sermon will be Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 12. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promise given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. And him will the Gentiles hope.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning, and glad to be with you, and enjoy the sunshine while it is sun shining. Hopefully we'll get some rain this week, and we pray that we do. And if you're praying for rain, get on it. We need some rain. Have a couple of birthdays this week. Actually, one from last week that I missed, but I'll get to that in a second. So Stan Dyers has one on Valentine's Day. Can you believe that? Old Grumpy Stan has his birthday. Valentine's Day? You think he'd be sweeter than that? Happy birthday to you, Grumpy Stan. And then Mark Jackson has his on the 14th as well. And so happy birthday to y'all. And Eddie Burnett had his last week, and somehow I missed it. It was on the... So happy birthday to you, buddy. 50 never looked so good. He's not 50. But that mustache is looking good, by the way. Man, it's looking sharp. Words of encouragement. Eric texted me yesterday, I believe, and said his dad was real alert and talking to his mom. And so the progress that seemed like wasn't going to happen is happening. brothers and sisters. And what an amazing thing that is, and want to be thankful to God for that progress. And keep praying for Eric's dad, please. And because, like I say, the progress didn't look, I mean, it wasn't looking like there was going to be any progress, and it has changed. So that is wonderful news at this time. If there's your small groups, if you're having any issues, has anybody met already in their small groups? Raise your hand. Come on, y'all. Let's get on it. We hadn't either, by the way. If you need any, shh. No laughing. If you need any help on wheels in your group, just let me know. Contrary to popular belief, I do have a grease gun, and we will grease the wheel. So just let me know. We're on the study of the one another passages, and all 59 of them that are in the New Testament that we want to look at. And so we're going to actually combine three together this morning into one. So y'all are getting three for one instead of stringing this out for 3 weeks. So y'all ought to be happy this morning. If you would, grab your Bibles. I hope you have them with you. And turn over there to Romans 15 and take a look at the passages that we're going to take a look at this morning. The entirety of this study, as we continue throughout this, is going to be how we are supposed to be about one another. It's not about you, it's about one another, which is different. See, when you're about yourself, you're not about anybody else. When you're about yourself, it has nothing to do with anyone. It's about you. And even though we are individuals, we are still about one another. And so we really, really need to get about this business of being with one another. In verse 5 there of Romans 15, now may the God of who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you the same. There we go. That you may be the same mind with one another. Same mind with one another. That's kind of difficult, is it not? I mean, let's just think about it. Now, you may be single and think that it's not difficult. Go get married and see how difficult being of the same mind is. Okay, and then we all get in here together. And it's difficult to be of the same mind. But Paul is urging the strong and the weak, despite the differences of views on a lot of non-essential items. And that's what was going on here with some non-essential things. Some things that are salvation issues. Be of the same mind, despite the difference of that opinion. And a strong and urging them to lovingly pursue love, spiritual harmony. These things that we can do this despite being different. These are things that can happen. It's not impossible. We can have the same mind. Now, I'm sure if we were to say that murder is a bad thing, we would all be of the same mind, correct? I'm assuming nobody thinks that's a good thing. So, we can be on the same mind. I'm assuming that, and this may be a tall assumption, but I'm assuming that we all believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? Amen? We can be of the same mind. You know, I had some several years ago, some brothers and sisters who didn't look like me or talk like me, they just assumed since we didn't talk the same and look the same that there's no chance we can get along, right? So we talked for a bit, and I said, now, wait a minute. Hold on here. And this is what Paul was saying right here. Y'all are concentrating on the things we have in difference, which all they're town folks and we're not, and dress differently and have a streak of a thing, a color in your hair, and I don't. We're looking at the differences instead of looking at the similarities, see? We had more in common than we had in difference. Brothers and sisters, today we have more in common than we have in our differences, but yet so many times we concentrate on the differences instead of concentrating on the same mind that we do have together. Paul is telling them, quit looking at your differences. It's irrelevant. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Look at the things that do matter and that you have together in Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, he goes on to say, accept one another. Accept one another. You know, we look for acceptance. That's just human nature to out to want to be accepted by people. Not very many people can go on and trudge on in any without any acceptance at all. You know, you look at children, WBS kids, that they are wanting to be accepted into something. They are wanting to know that someone loves them for who they are, in spite of faults. Aren't we thankful that God loved us in spite of our faults? As we did just a while ago, in spite of our faults, Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost and to, yet while we're still sinners, die for us. Praise God, we ought to be thankful that He accepted us. And we need to accept one another. Our unity should be a real and apparent. It should be really apparent to others the unity that we have, and the purpose of our unity is not to please each other. Okay, that's not the purpose of the unity. Oh, well, we can be together now. I'm happy with Mary Lynn Bragg all of a sudden because we're unified. That's not, it's to glorify God. Look at the last of the sentence. At the last of the verse here, in verse 7. Except Christ, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So when we are together and we are one and we have these one another mentality, it is to the glory of God. That's when things can start taking off like a rocket ship for Christ Jesus, is when it's about glorifying the Father. So we want to be of the same mind. We want to accept one another. How does that exactly work? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12 and take a look there at some possibilities that can shed some light on this. And we're just going to start there in verse 12 and read through 27, I believe. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave nor free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ears say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all a member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is sure that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has composed the body, given more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Verse 25, have the same care for one another. Have the same care for one another. See, unfortunately, so many times we do tend to show a little bit of favoritism in our caring for one another, do we not? Oh, the Parr family is just so cute. So we care more about, but that's not what goes on. I'm just using them as an example because they are cute. Them boys are a mess. It's hard not to show favoritism. And then you get to Steve Taylor. And it's pretty easy not to show him favoritism, right? It's real easy not to show him favoritism. Would we rather have the cute family or Steve? Okay, it's a pretty easy choice. We do those things, but we shouldn't do those things. There should be none of that. We should have the same care for each and every one of us. That's what the secret is having the same care for each other and every other. And that's hard, brothers and sisters. We think we don't have enough to go around. We think we don't have enough. Well, I'm going to specialize on this little group over here because that's what I can do. Shouldn't be any cliques in the church. May there be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Now, you show me how you can have a clique. Can't happen. The old folks don't need to be just all about the old folks. The young folks don't need to be all just about the young folks. The single folks don't need to be only about the single folks. The married folks don't need to be just about the married folks. The kids just don't need to be about the kids. The OC crowd, the OSU crowd, the OU crowd. I love you OU people. Even though I don't, that's against our human nature for OSU people and OU people to get along. I have to have the same care for y'all. Maybe someday by having the same care you can see the error of your ways. And we can get you over the good side. Go Pokes. We have an example about this. What this set of scriptures here in 1 Corinthians, we have a fine example of this in this congregation. Wednesday night, Wednesday Bible School, WBS, it started up this past week, and we had a ton of kids actually out of town, but that's okay. And we still had a lot of kids here, so it's a good thing. We may have needed that 1 week of just a few fewer to help get back in the groove. But we're living out right here, brothers and sisters. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm patting the church on the back, but yeah, kind of am. But see, not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody's a helper. Not everybody's a bus driver. Not everybody as a food and snack deliverer or cooks. Not everybody is a bouncer. We call them bouncers. It's certainly not what sounds bad. It's really not that, but it kind of that's what we call them. Those that help with if there's any problems with the kids or anything. There's those that do that. There's those that sing with the kids. There's those that see. We all do these things. But none of them are less important than the other. Just because one is teaching and one is helping doesn't mean the teacher is more important. The teacher is going to be judged differently. But that doesn't mean the helper is less important in the effort than the teacher. It doesn't mean the singing is less important than the... It doesn't mean the bus driver... I mean, just think about it. If they don't get here... How can we be effective? Right? A bus driver is very important. And the helper on the bus driver to help maintain civility till we get them home. Some nights that's a tough chore. Thinking about the snack situation, because there are children that have allergy issues and trying to keep that straight and make sure we don't let a child have something. Because they're willing to say they want what they shouldn't have. You know, I shouldn't have chocolate, and I had a piece of chocolate pie last night. You know, but there's kids willing to say, oh no, I know I'm allergic to that. Oh, give it to me. It'll be okay. But yet keeping all that straight, that's very important. So we are living out 1 Corinthians here in chapter 12 of the things that we are doing differently and that are very, very important together as the body. I mean, you think about it. Go, did anybody see anybody clear the ice and snow off? We just miraculously showed up and it was done. I didn't see it done. It just, whew, there it is. It's not any less important just because no one saw it. It's very important. Just because it's done and when nobody sees it doesn't mean it's less important. These works that this congregation do is very important. They're all very important together, even though they are different. They not seem as important. That's why the foot and the eye and the saying, well, I have no need of you. I have no, the ear saying, I have no need of the eye and the hand saying, I have no. Doesn't that happen though? Oh, you're not a teacher, so you don't have much purpose. Oh, you're not a preacher, so you don't have much purpose. You're not a song leader, and so there's not a lot, you know, out there for you to accomplish in here, and things like that happen. Sometimes we don't use that language, but it happens. I mean, think about those who prepare the communion bags on Sunday mornings. Running the screen and streaming it online. Organizing and getting the guys together for service. Cleaning the building. Doing the bulletin. Y'all, it wasn't Jill's fault. Her computer crashed. I sent her the off the cuff and it crashed immediately. It just couldn't handle it. But doing the bulletin every week, you know, that's a hassle. Sending out emails. Wanda sends out emails every day, posts of prayer requests and things. But those things happen and are very, very essential. All of them are essential. Does everybody here have both their big toes? Don't, you're not a freak or nothing if you don't. I don't. Does everybody have both their big toes? I went to school with a young man that didn't have either one of his big toes. And standing was an issue. Had no idea it was an issue till I went to school with him. And so that he could walk decently. The balance wasn't as much issue, but standing still was an issue. So usually he'd just kind of quietly, and he'd get over and he'd lean on something because the balance wasn't there without his big toes. We're in high school, y'all. And this is a man that was without them his whole life and still had balance issues without his big toes. I don't like feet and toes. I don't like balls, and I don't like mine. But yet, I can't sit there and tell myself that those big toes aren't essential to the operation and helping the balance of this body. Some of us may not be as pretty as others. And I don't mean that in a physical way. I mean that in a spiritual way. But yet, just because it's a big toe and not the eyes doesn't make this less to balance out the body of Christ. It is essential that we work together. I mean, have you tried walking without your feet? It doesn't work. Have you tried kneeling without your knees? Well, I'm finding out that kneeling without a knee that's working correctly is tough. It's tough. Hey, Bo, it's all right, buddy. Hang in there. Hang in there, Bo. Don't give up on me. I'm almost done. It's okay, buddy. There you go. All right. The knee, it's hard to get down on when the knee ain't working right. And I'm not going to do it this morning because it may not get back up. But try kneeling without your knees. Doesn't work. So all are important. Verse 26 offers something as well. And if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Boy, I tell you, brothers and sisters, we is not saying, oh, because they're miserable, you need to be miserable too. That's not what that means. What that means is we are so in tuned, just think. You cannot drop something on your foot without the entirety of you knowing that something got dropped on your foot. If a calf kicks you in the thigh, your whole body knows that a calf kicked you right there. If you shut your hand in the door of the truck, you can feel it in your toes. We are supposed to be so in tune to one another and be about one another in a manner that when someone is suffering, we feel it. And we're there with them. That we are together. It's not well, their misery is rubbing off on me. No. We are to hurt them and work with them. That's how in tuned the body of Christ is supposed to be. When someone is hurting, we know and we are there with them in that suffering. But there's also something else. When one is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So when something good happens, we can be there for one another to enjoy that time. So we are to be there in the offerings. We are there to be there in the rejoicing as well. That's a good time. That's a good thing that we can do, is be there in those times. So if we're not of the same mind with one another, and if we're not accepting one another, and we're not having the same care for one another, then we're most certainly not going to be able to be there in the times of suffering and be there in the times of rejoicing. This morning, after service this morning, we're gonna do both of those. We're gonna suffer a little bit, but we're gonna rejoice a little bit. And that'll be explained here in a minute. But this morning you may not have been a part of the body like what you needed to be. Maybe this morning the functioning hadn't been there. The back is the same way too. When it's hurting, you know it. Maybe the functionality of what you've been purposed here on this earth, you haven't been functioning in that manner. That doesn't mean it's the preaching, the teaching, the song leading. It may be whatever it is that is not any less a part of the body at all. But yet, yeah, you just haven't been functioning. This morning we want to encourage you to function. And we can help each other in these functions. Let's be aware of this. And let's encourage one another. Seems like that's applicable to encourage one another in these efforts that we all have as members of one body. If you're struggling this morning, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we
Be seated, please.
I think Charlie stole everything I was going to pray about this morning. But it's great to hear the word as we heard it this morning. Let us pray. Holy Father, as we come this morning, we know as you look down upon us, we're just a speck of dust in a big pile of dirt. And Father, we know that as we grow in your word, that you will erode that dirt away from us so that we will be seen and we can be used. Father, we know that we fall short so many times. And Father, we know that you look upon us and say, I've been there, I understand. And you lift us up. Father, we also understand that someday we will be with you in a place where there won't be no griping, no crying, no shame, no heartache. And Father, we ask that we can use that here on earth, that as a family, that we get to know each other good enough to know when someone's hurting, someone's crying. Father, we ask that we can just reach out and touch each other and build each other up. Father, we also want to remember that when one rejoices, we all rejoice together. Father, if we don't know each other, we won't know when someone's rejoicing. Father, we just need to become one, as it is written. Father, we know we only have one Father. We know that there's only one Son. And there's only one that could die for us. Father, we are so blessed as humans with all of our faults to have a loving Father and a Savior. We pray these things through Jesus. Amen.
Our closing song will be number 538. 538, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. Me and Jim was talking earlier back there about, you know, Charlie, he can't wear yellow. He will never wear a yellow shirt, ever. At least that's what he tells me. He does not like yellow.
Don't own yellow.
Okay. I don't know if I could wear a pink coat. I'm just saying. It takes a man to wear a pink shirt. Now, see, Ron over here, he looks good in his shirt. I mean, he looks manly. But a pink coat, it's just, I don't know. Especially with the red hair, too. See, that really that. But you did do a good job, and you look good in pink. But I think you look better in yellow. That's voodoo stuff. That's voodoo stuff. All right, first, second, and fourth.
Then we'll have our closing prayers, and we'll have announcements. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for this day. Lord, we're just so thankful for the lesson that we just received, and just help us to keep one another in mind and be there for one another, be there for the body of this church. Lord, we're just so blessed to have the leadership here that we do, and just how everyone comes together and does what's needed when it's needed. Lord, it's just so such a blessing. Lord, we're just so thankful for you, and we ask that you answer prayers that are asked for the sick that are here. We have so many that are sick and on our list, and Lord, when we pray for these people, we need not forget those that are in the family and they're suffering with them, those that have to take care of them and get them to appointments and take charge of things. Give them the strength to make this happen. Lord, we're just so grateful for youth, the young people in this church, and the kids, and like it was mentioned earlier this morning, just let them grow up to be Christians and leaders. Lord, we're praying now for some rain. It's dry here, and we need you to put a little rain on this earth and just bless us with your rain. Lord, watch over us and guide us and forgive us when we sin. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.